Blog Talk Radio. say, you can call me Buddy Cone Man.
Okay. Doc Shelley, what's in the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network? We're live from MetLife Stadium, and the Jets and the Buffalo Bills are in an exciting game right now. And some things are happening today. The Giants and the Washington Redskins continue to lose. And the Giants shut out today in a score that you thought would have been the other way, 38-0. Carolina loses and wins, and the Washington Redskins, for the first time in a long time, lost at home to the Detroit Lions. And so the Cowboys continue to win, and now they are 2-1. The Giants and the Redskins in the same division are 0-3, and the Eagles on a pretty good spot right now. They have picked up a win. And the Giants next week go to Kansas City. Kansas City is undefeated with their big win Thursday night against the Eagles. And so the scenario continues. The good thing for the Giants is that Cowboys are not that far away. And at 0-3, the Redskins are not far away at all, as they are both in the same situation, in the same area. Well, we've got some technical difficulties, so just hang right with us. We're going to get into the studio here. We got some guests coming in, and with that, we will have the calls that we're looking to get, and just hang right with us here, Doc Shelley, Sports Depth Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, and Jets are leading here at Buffalo, against Buffalo here in at MetLife Stadium, and wow, it's quite interesting. Patriots won today 23-3. First half didn't look too good for Brady. Well, for a while for Brady and the Patriots, but came back through two touchdowns, and the Patriots continue to win and put the pressure on everybody else here in this division. But once again, the Giants lost today 38-0 against the Carolina. Wow, it's just mind blowing. This is Natty Sea Wings on here. We're going to talk about that whole situation momentarily. And, wow, this is crazy. Some of the things that happened today in professional football. But right now, we're still here live from MetLife Stadium, Doc Shelley Sports Depth on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And we're looking for some technical difficulties here. We'll get into studio for a minute and get everything rolling for you. So just hang right with us. Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. And with that, we are going to get our calls now. We've got a host of things here. Cincinnati C, you look at this game today, and the Giants lose 38-0. No excuse for that, is it?
Oh, it's definitely it's unexplainable. This is by far the biggest loss under Tom Coughlin's tenure that the Giants suffered, meaning not to even score 1 point. The Giants, Manning was 12 for 23, 119 yards, sacked seven times for a loss of 45 yards. He threw one interception. Cam Newton, who has been playing erratically, losing a lot of close last two games, he was 15 for 27. 223 yards. He threw for three touchdowns.
Okay. Well, the Giants have a lot of problems that they have to worry about. The offensive line cannot protect Eli Manning. The secondary of the defense, they can't get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, the Giants, for all intents and purposes, were expected today to win against Carolina, which would have turned it around.
Come on, yeah, I can hear you.
The Giants weren't in a bad position there, having only won, having lost only one division game and one game against the Denver Broncos.
But the Giants are in a lot of trouble right now. They're going to have to turn this around. It's not going to be easy going into having to play Kansas City under the leadership of, their new coach. Giants are definitely looking up, but they're in a division that can be up for grabs. I mean, the Cowboys are not too far away from them. Washington Redskins are in the same boat as the Giants. Philadelphia Eagles are not a runaway team. So the Giants, they have a lot of work cut out for them. It's not impossible right now. They can turn this around, but the Giants do have a lot of work, having to face Andy Reid.
A lot of work ain't the word. 0-3, they get shut out today. The one thing they had going for them, they had the number one offense in the league supposedly. They didn't do that today. Real quickly, we're going to welcome you into the Sporting Death Nation. We got a special guest with us today. But right now, the man who coined the phrase for us, the man who brought Sporting Death Nation about to be, the one only, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., bring us in, Rooney, to the Sports and Death Nation.
It will be a pleasure to do so, good doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here, and that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Looney. We're here halftime at the Buffalo Bills in New York. Just bragging rights, New York City is definitely playing here today. You do 3-0 as the Giants did. They get to any kind of bragging. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, Christian God, you know, Sports Radio Network. We open every show with a prayer. Then Mr. George Radney is here from Buffalo. We also football with him and other things. But right now, let's stop and give homage to the thought. John Coltrane, hope the place was too much. Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, Lord, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, the little things we so largely take for granted. And we ask, Lord, to show way out. But we ask, Lord, to come when you want, what we need. And we hope that we need is also the food of all homage and praise to you. And we want to know you, God, the darling of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We just stop and thank you for blessings that have come. And all blessings, death and mercy. As he's blessing all his blessings, name your doctors and Jesus, the one and only, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Block Talk, very on the Trust and Guardian. And what Cincinnati won a big football game today, the first team ever, okay, to be up by 14, down by 16, and to win a football game. And I think that we got George Ratney here from the Challenger up in Sports Director, Buffalo?
Yeah, Sports Director. That's correct.
George, you know, and I've said this with Cincinnati She Wings, you know, Marvin Lewis, I think, is a coach that doesn't get a lot of credit, and I thought that somehow this year he may be on the hot seat.
He could be. He's gotten his opportunity, I must say. He's one African-American coach that has been with the ups and the downs with the NFL team, and he's still left the coach. And I think this is his season to prove it because it's a down year for the Steelers. The Ravens are down this year as well. In Cleveland, we don't even know where are they. Are they on the map yet back in Cleveland? They got a lot of cousins over there in Cleveland, but man, they're like us and the Bills. We still trying to get back on the map, let alone win some games.
George, a bit surprised that EJ got the starting job up there. You know, we got two rookie quarterbacks here today for two flagship franchises here. Talk a little about the young man. Were they a bit surprised that he got the starting job? And he definitely has played with some good qualifications.
Oh, he played all 4 years at Florida State. They liked his decision-making. That's what the Bills really were attracted to by signing him. And, no, it wasn't even a really – they called it a competition. But as soon as we saw him step on the field, he couldn't make the throws. So it really they had him there as for him to win it outright. And it was pretty easy to win it because Kevin Cobb couldn't complete a lot of the passes. He looked very poor in training camp, and he shouldn't even been signed to a contract. He really shouldn't have even been signed. Tavares Jackson, really, if he was here, I think Tavares would have won the starting job. But the Bills wanted, because they drafted EJ number one, they wanted him to start. I think from day one, the Bills front office wanted him to start. That's why they got rid of Tavares Jackson before we even went to training camp. He never even played a down in our uniform. He was always always inactive when he was here with Chan Gailey last year. And he was better than the quarterbacks we had on the field. So Tavares, I hope things work out for him back in Seattle. Hope he gets the opportunity out there down the road, which could easily happen. We never know from week to week. But the Bills just had no other option, but they said, hey, we're going to start E.J. Manuel. And that's why he's out there today.
Tristan Eddie, you heard the word with F01. George says that the E.J. was the man all the way.
I definitely believe that E.J. was going to be the starting quarterback, and I talked to Hoops a lot. Watching E.J. Manuel through his Florida State career. I mean, you're coming from a very treasured and storied college football program. And E.J. Manuel, I think he's going to be big in this league if he stays healthy. I mean, he's a mobile quarterback. He can throw on the run. So my question to you, George, is what do you think is going to take for E.J. in Buffalo to be successful in this division with the New England Patriots, who, as we know, they're not the Patriots of years ago. What is it going to take for Buffalo to be successful in this division?
What's it going to take is for the Bills to quit being cheap. They're a very cheap franchise. They don't want to pay anybody. And you got E.J. Now you don't even have an offensive line in front of them. You got bums out there. Colin Brown, he's a bum. He couldn't play for a college team right now. He shouldn't even be in the league, but we got him starting at left guard. On the right guard, we got Craig Urbick. He's another journeyman that shouldn't even be. You know, it's a lot of people, when they leave Buffalo, they don't even make the other team. They get cut, you know, during training. They don't even make another squad, a lot of our guys. So that's how you can tell. We just cheat. We get these guys like Colin Brown. We let Andy Lavitre go. Lavitre should have been re-signed. All he wanted was $5 million. The Tennessee Titans gave him $5.5 million. I mean, come on, you couldn't pay the man $5.5 million, yet we signed the center who's had two major knee injuries, broke his leg in three places the first year. He's a very good center, but you'd rather pay him than pay Andy Lavitre, who never missed a game. And now we can't even replace him. This year was an excellent year to draft. It was draft for the linemen. This was the linemen draft. Guess how many linemen the Bills drafted this year?
How many, George?
Zero. Zero. They went out here and got bums out the bar, man. They went out to the corner tavern in Buffalo and grabbed a couple cats, man. They came in there and got hurt in training camp. I'm like, come on, man. It's just, the Bills is the same old Bills. That's why we haven't been in the playoffs in 13 years.
Rooney, it's no question that you have to like Joy style, Rooney.
Indeed. Very interesting indeed. I'm sitting here quite amused. Of course, I agree indeed. I mean, you know, this is the NFL. I mean, we're talking about basically a Fortune 500 company league-wide generating billions and billions of dollars. And it always kills me when these guys try to nickel and dime ball players. It just never ceases to amaze me, good doctor.
The Bills were forced a couple of years ago by the league to say, hey, Buffalo and Tampa Bay had the two highest dollars, had over $45 million sitting there that they weren't using. They said, hey, you gotta spend this money. You gotta spend this salary cap money. And the Bills go out and pay Mario Williams. He's a good player, but you could have bought four or five players for the amount of money that you paid for one man. And that was ridiculous for the Bills just to go ahead and get one man instead of getting three or four guys that could have helped your team.
And I think that EJ is he's a versatile quarterback. He's one of the quarterbacks of the new NFL, the read option. I mean, he can throw on the run as opposed of Manning or Tom Brady, who are primarily pocket passers. And I agree with George. When you go back to the early 90s of when Buffalo went to the Super Bowl, they had, you know, Thurman Thomas, the quarterback, Jim Kelly. I mean, you had the pieces around him, and it's just not in this league to put one good impact player, including a quarterback, on a team and just think that you're going to win in this day and age of of a salary cap. You just don't have the dominant teams like you used to have of Green Bay, of Pittsburgh, of the Dallas Cowboys, different things like that. So it's many factors to play involved. But Buffalo has always been one of those teams that can play the Jets tough or play their division rivals tough. I mean, they may not always have had the best record in the NFL, but they're one of those Trojan horse teams that can, any given Sunday, bring down a big team like New England Patriots or intra-conference rival like the Giants or something like that. So, George, you hit it right there on the head. And right now the Jets leading 17-6 over Buffalo.
26 because of a field goal. But keep in mind, the Jets play physical. The Bills' offensive line is not physical. They're going to push Buffalo around. Buffalo is just now getting a physical mentality because of Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator. The defense is playing well, but we're just not getting the offense going because our offensive line is not a physical offensive line. So we're in trouble this week. The Jets look like they're ready to pull away for an easy victory here, and then we got Baltimore coming to Buffalo next week, and that, you know, we may have to bring the ambulances out.
They won today. Well, Ray Rice today. They won today. Ray Rice today. They just manhandled Texas.
Well, they won because of special teams and in the defense. The defense scored a touchdown, and the special teams scored a touchdown as well, and that was the difference in that game today.
Mm-hmm. George, what is your assessment of the game today, in so much as E.J. Manuel in the offensive line?
What they're trying to work with, they're trying to get EJ in there gradually, but now he's behind. He's going to have to go to the air. Hackett is a novice at best. I don't think he's that good. He needs to go back to Syracuse University and be offensive coordinator because I wasn't happy with his play calling last week in the game that we pulled out against Carolina. He needs to roll Manuel out. He doesn't have a line. So there's no need to keep him in the pocket when you don't really have a line. And he's not using Fred Jackson enough. Fred Jackson is playing better than Spiller. He's been playing better than him all three games. He's not getting Fred Jackson the ball because he's trying to get Spiller. He's trying to give 50-50 to each, and you just need to go with the hot running back. And Hackett just doesn't have a feel for the game, and really he needs to go back to college.
Wow. There you go. You have it on the Doc Stanley Sports and Death Show. We are live, MetLife Stadium, as the New York Jets host the Buffalo Bills, and they lead them 20-6.
Yeah, I was going to ask George a question. In tonight's game, George, I know there's going to be a good one tonight, old school football teams, the Steelers and the Bears. And what is wrong with the Steelers? I was telling C-Wings that the offensive line.
But the Steelers got caught up with the Super Bowl because keep in mind now, they done played in two Super Bowls in the last 5 years. But what that means is they done played more football games than anybody else in the league. And when you play more games than anybody else, you're going to have injuries. It's going to be tough to keep guys. Willie Colon has gone off of that line. They lost a couple more linemen. And right now their offensive line is very poor. And then I think the coach, Tomlin, made a quick knee-jerk decision by getting rid of Mendenhall at their running back because I think he was a much better running back than what they have now.
Okay.
The defense is still good, but the offensive line and running back position is horrible.
I said that.
C-Wings coming to you live on the Doc Stanley Sports and Depth Show. We are doing a live show here at MetLife Stadium. New York Jets host the Buffalo Bills as the New York Jets are leading 20-6. Just a couple of scores from around the league. New York Giants were trunched. They were
unbelievable.
38-0, which was the biggest loss for the New York Giants under Tom Coughlin's tenure. Also, it is the largest margin win for the Carolina Panthers.
Since Baltimore, right?
Erratically, yes, absolutely. Green Bay lost to Cincinnati. They came back 34-0. Cleveland Browns.
That was a shock.
31-27. Over Minnesota. I mean, that was
Rob Richardson.
Absolutely. Tennessee in the final seconds of the game
They edged the Chargers 20-17, and Miami and Atlanta are both tied 20-20 in the fourth quarter with a little over 11 minutes to go. Jacksonville is being trucked.
George, what do you think about the Detroit upset over the Redskins? 26-27 games?
They went so long without beating them. I thought this might be a good opportunity for them to beat the Redskins because the Redskins quarterback RG3 is not really ready to play. The offensive line is a little suspect. So this was a good opportunity for Detroit to really get Washington while Washington is not playing their game. And Detroit came back and won that one.
You think he's going to be on the bench? You think he'll be on the bench or he'll keep his performance up?
I think they really should. They really should because he's just not playing well. He's not ready. He should have been on the physically unable to perform list and missed the first six games of the season. Then think about bringing him in. I think that was a bad mistake on the coaching staff to start him because he didn't play no preseason games. Who doesn't play any preseason games and then start the regular season? You don't see veteran quarterbacks doing that.
Yeah.
So why would you do a rookie guy like that?
The feeling with George was that it was a safety move, and we got Justin Pierce here joining us now. Justin, you with Justin Lerner?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, Justin, and your affiliation once again?
My name is Justin Lerner.
And your organization?
I work for Pierce Sports NY.
Yeah, Justin, the talk has been a big subject, too, and George and everybody just spoke about it. RG3 not playing any preseason games, and the mindset, we want him to be healthy. Your thoughts on that, and now, the Redskins are 0-3, and they're still talking about him not being in sync yet. What was your feeling? Do you think he should have played some preseason games? Do you think this is the residue of that? What's your feelings on RG3 not playing any preseason games?
I mean, that's hard to answer because in hindsight, since they're 0-3, you could say that he should have been playing in preseason. But with the way that the season ended last year with him tearing his ACL and Mike Shanahan taking a lot of heat for that, he tried to play it cautious and, maybe it backfired. I truthfully believe that he should have played at least a couple of preseason games, but, he was, I guess he was a little too scared because he had a lot of heat on him.
No, I guess it's not going to be like he's going to be on them. They continue to lose. I don't know.
I can't hear. Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can hear a little bit.
Still here.
Can you
George, who are you picking to win it tonight, the Steelers and the Bears? What do you think you're going to see in that game? A lot of hitting, huh?
Yeah, a lot of hitting. A lot of hitting in that game. I think the Steelers have enough to pull it off. If they're 0-2, they don't want to go 0-3. I think the Steelers will win that tonight. It's going to be another close game, but I think the Steelers have their defense will make the difference in tonight's game.
We think about that. You think that Lovie Smith should have still been the coach there, or this coach is pretty well so far?
Well, Lovie should have been the coach of Buffalo. He said he came right out and said he wanted to be the coach of Buffalo.
C-Wing said the same thing you said. Y'all minds, C-Wing said the same thing.
Yeah,
the
Bills
should have that Buffalo job.
Buffalo, that's where he should be right now, bringing that defensive plan here. And we shouldn't have went to college and grabbed somebody from Syracuse University. And to answer your original question, no, the Bears shouldn't have fired him. He should have been in there. He should have brought him a quality offensive. I would have made him bring a quality offensive coordinator.
C-Wings, did you hear that?
Jumpstart the offense.
C-Wings, did you hear that answer? C-Wings?
Calm down. Calm down.
We were just talking about that. He should have got fired.
Hey, listen. Children can listen to this show, too. Calm down. Well, don't get them excited. Don't get him excited. Just
business.
Hey, well, at least one of the tri-state area teams bothered to show up since the Jets are playing the Buffalo Bills. Whoever wins or loses that contest, at least they bothered to show up. Not like the New York Giants, who put on a disgraceful display today going 0-3 in a game that, even though it's early, would have had playoff implications. Because I believe, what is it, Doc? I think it was some statistic that only 15% of the teams that had started off 0-2 made the playoffs, and they go 0-3, and even worse, not even bother to show up.
Well, you know, I think it would be kind of hard to say that they didn't show up. I mean, we can say they showed up. Maybe they showed up and didn't play. It's befuddling. You know, the offense has played so well the last. They could have been very well 2-0. I mean, I think the startling thing here too, Justin, is not only did they lose, but they didn't score a point. I mean, you know, they act like this team was still coming today.
Yeah, well, I think the problem with the Giants is, you know, they were a little overconfident coming in last year. They still haven't recovered from their Super Bowl hangover. It just doesn't look good for them, you know. JPP is not playing the way that he should be. The offense looked good. I mean, today they didn't look good, but, you know, Hakeem Nicks, Ruben Randall, Victor Cruz, they're all making plays. They just need some help on their defense.
And by the way, keep in mind that the Giants can get back. The division is very weak this year.
Sure. You're being too kind when you say division is weak. You're far too kind. But watching them both 0-3, and the Cowboys always suspect, you've been very kind to say the division is weak.
So you have a very good chance of making the playoffs. That is very weak. I didn't realize it was two teams 0-3. Oh, my goodness. But keep in mind, Buffalo Bills are one of four teams that were 0-4 and came back and made the playoffs. As a matter of fact, it was the last year we made it in 99 when the touchdown kickoff throwback against Tennessee when we lost in overtime. And we were 0-4 that year, but Wade Phillips got the team together, and we should have won that game.
Yeah.
But, hey, you can come back for 0-4.
The Giants aren't showing enough signs of life to be making that type of comeback. They look like a team that's dead in the water. They haven't played well in any aspect of the game, offensively, defensively, in any aspect. And I'm telling you right now, if they continue on this particular road, they're not even going to sniff the playoffs. I mean, they just look like a team that's uninterested, not ready to play. And they just put on a disgraceful performance. They're supposed to pick apart that secondary, who's mostly vastly hurt and injured to begin with, and they did nothing. I mean, shut out. Hey, Doc, I'm not being far too tough on them. I will reiterate what I said. They did not even bother to show up.
I know you definitely see something on that one, right, Rooney?
I definitely see something. I'm going to tell you what the Mel Smith Jr. crystal ball says, Hook. The Mel Smith Jr. crystal ball shows that they will not make the playoffs, even though the Super Bowl will be held in their building.
I thought they would win today. We were sitting at the dome since Tom Collins, as you know, he lost his brother. You know, thought they would win because of him. You know. There's some inspiration. It didn't happen.
No inspiration, no spark, no nothing. One of the worst performances I have seen when I've been watching NFL football.
As they say, less than nothing. That's what that was, less than nothing.
Give me a break. Everybody hold tight real quickly for one time. Question Guard Radio Network. Take a break today. The last time in the history of professional baseball, number 42 will be born in New York City. Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer ever, today had a day. And as you know, Mariano is the last player to ever wear Jackie Robinson's iconic number 42. And he said today how proud he was to be the last player to wear number 42. And Mrs. Rachel Robinson, the lovely wife of Jack Roosevelt Robinson, was there. She said how proud she was that he was the last player to wear number 42. Class, character, dignity, a man who always put the good Lord first. First thing he says, I want to thank God. He's been a great player, a great human being. He's already in the Hall of Fame of great humanitarians, and in 5 years from now he'll be in the Hall of Fame, the greatest closer in the history of the game. But he's just a great, great person. But more importantly, the fact that Jackie Robinson's number gets worn by the final time by somebody like Mariano Rivera and somebody from a New York City baseball team. Robinson Cano, as you know, is named after Jackie Robinson. Robinson, his first name is their dad, named after Jackie. He wears number 24 because it's Jackie Robinson's number backwards. We take this moment to salute a great human being. 20 Minds, just a great, great player. a great, great person, the greatest closer in the history of the game, and but more importantly, just a great human being. Class and character, dignity. You know, everybody has a lot of respect for Mariano, and you saw that on the course of the season and a lot of ceremonies that was had. And the thing that stood foremost in my mind is that Mariano always professes deep belief and trust in God and was blessed immensely. And we were blessed to have him in our lifetime, blessed to have him in New York City. And today, for the last time ever, in New York City, where the number 42 will be worn. And when he retires, it will be the last play ever to wear Jackie Robinson's iconic number 42. Jack Roosevelt Robinson, who became the first African American to win the Rookie of the Year. In fact, he won the Rookie of the Year award when it was given to only one player. He also won 2 years later, 1949, at the batting championship and the MVP. Today, we here at Sports in Depth and also send our condolences to Coach Toflin and our salutations to the great Mariano Rivera, the last man ever to wear Jackie Robinson's number 42. Doc Stanley, Sports Tech, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. We're talking football here. We're hoping to get a hold of both Eddie Cotton and Earl Brown, two referees. If not, we'll get them next week. A lot of talk, as you know. Last week this time, we were talking about the display of boxing put on by Floyd Mayweather Jr., pretty boy. And yesterday I heard a comment. We can move from football for a minute. And Paulie Malignaggi, who's been a very, I think you would say, Rooney, at best, a B fighter, and you'd be kind if you put a plus, maybe a little harsh and not too harsh.
Doc, I've always maintained and then said this on this show many moons ago that the Paulie's a much better announcer slash broadcaster than is a fighter, in my opinion. But please continue.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Rooney. But after this statement, I have to question his ability as a sportscaster and have to think that this actually was a statement coming from being a punch drunk fighter. I read yesterday he said that if you don't see Floyd Mayweather Jr. as the greatest fighter of all time, you're either, are you ready for this, stupid, blind, or stubborn. And when I heard that comment from Paulie Malignaggi, and Paulie's a buddy of mine, I knew right then.
I'm sorry, you're coming in a little low, Doc. Who did he say was the greatest fighter of all time?
No, he said if you don't see Floyd Mayweather Jr. as the greatest fighter of all time, you are either stupid, blind, or stubborn. And after I read that,
that's not even worthy of comment. Let me say this, okay? Floyd is the greatest fighter of this era, okay? He doesn't beat Ray Leonard. He doesn't beat Tommy Hearns. He doesn't beat Wilfredo Benitez.
Won't beat Hector Camacho.
He doesn't beat
Roberto
Duran. He doesn't beat any of those guys, but he doesn't fight those guys. He fights these guys of this era. And
Roy Jones.
Of fighters.
You know, the thing here is that, you know, when you talk about Walker Smith Jr., and you know that's Ray Robinson's real name. You know, Ray Robinson was 40-0 before he lost his first fight. Ray Robinson was 77-0 as a welterweight. And, you know, when he lost his first fight, he lost to Jake LaMotta. He beat LaMotta again at the end of the month and retired the first time. Ray Robinson was 132-2. But I guess we'll just move on. Jets and Bills here at MetLife Stadium. We've got from the challenger in Buffalo, George Radney. We've also got my man Justin here. See ways we're talking football. Did you know him join us yet? I think one of the things, too, that exciting football game, you know, Cincinnati won a big football game against the Packers. I guess beating the Giants now is no longer big as it's becoming routine. We've got the Bills and the Jets playing for the bragging rights of New York State because the Giants are definitely out at 0-3. And we've got some other football game. Dallas won again today. And any other division, you know, George, in any other division, Dallas would be pulling away
They would be. They'd be heavily favored to win it. But right now, it's still a free for all for that division. They haven't even played too many divisional games, so it's a long way to go.
What's with Philly? And looking at Justin, your take on Philly? You know, Reed leaves, the new coach comes in. They're playing. This is a crazy division. You know, you can win it without winning, Justin.
Well, I mean, they have all the pieces in place on offense. Defense is a different story. But like the Chargers did with them about 2 weeks ago, when they hold the possession of the ball for longer than the Eagles, it's tough for Chip Kelly to get his offense going. I don't know how many hits Michael Vick can take and, you know, play 16 games. You put him in an option like that, he's taking hits all over the field. I don't know if he could be able to blast.
No, and plus, it takes a while. It's still early in the season. After you play four NFL games, then everybody has enough tape on you to really defense your game. So after the fourth week of the season, that's when you really see who's who and what's what and what type of – and if Kelly can make adjustments to what he's done in the first four games, can he change up on that to get a step on the on his upcoming opponents? But then again, the flip side is defense looks horrible. He got to do something on the defensive side of the ball as well. I know he's embarrassed that Andy Reid came in there and slapped him around Thursday night there. I know he
slapped him around. Being like you owe him some money.
Andy Reid is a good coach. I mean, I just think that his time was up in Philadelphia. I mean, he's been through a lot emotionally with his sons and you know, different things like that. I think his time was just done there, and it was time to move on. And they may be a wild card team, like Hoopster said.
Yeah, I picked Dallas to win the division. So
I don't think anybody from the NFC East is going to be a wild card. I think it's the division winner. That's it. I mean, their division is so weak right now.
Really,
Redskins
is very
weak. Redskins are at 0-3. The Giants 0-3.
That division with like 9 games. If you win like 9 games, you might actually win that division.
Yeah,
all eight and eight.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you know, 500 can win the division or where they're playing right now. Give me just a second. Let's slide back. We got Russell to join us here. We were talking a little boxing. Our good buddy, the Cisco Kid, and got a little
Nice
match here going on right here,
uh-oh,
right now.
Oh boy.
Oh my.
So, you know. The thing that we talked about a couple of seconds ago, and we talked about it yesterday kind of redundantly and with some seriousness, this claim by Paulie Malignaggi, and not only Paulie, but George, and you put this across to you, to Justin, this claim, all of a sudden, this declaration that Floyd Mayweather, George and Cisco, is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I don't know how to feel about Floyd. He's obviously undefeated. He's one of the best pound-for-pound boxers of all time, and especially our generation. But, you know, the whole him not fighting Pacquiao, you know, that has to put something in your mind. There's no doubt that he's a great fighter, but he's also a great entertainer, and he knows how to sell and promote his style. So,
right.
I mean, as good as he is, he's a better promoter. So as good as
right.
he is, you don't know
yeah.
really how good he is.
Right.
I happen to think that he's the best of a very weak crop and does a great job, as you said, of sales and promotion.
Mm-hmm.
He wears the
right.
black hat and he wears the black hat and gets paid very handsomely for it.
Yeah, right. That's the point that Muscles made. Muscles, you hear with us? I thought Muscles was. And that was the thing that we came to the conclusion that the biggest thing about Mayweather is he's done a great job of promotion. And you got to really take your hat off to him. I mean, he's making crazy dollars. You know, he's like Ray Leonard and De La Hoya and Tyson and Ali. He's a guy you want to fight. And it's not so much about fighting him as the point is getting paid to fight him. But this so-called declaration by a horde of people, I mean, I've talked to a couple of people who now I know don't know boxing, but you know, they made the same claim that they think this guy is the greatest fighter of all time. And
the best
you know,
of a very weak crop, good doctor.
Yeah,
the best of
yeah,
a very
yeah.
weak crop.
George?
And he's one of the best promoters because he promotes himself, and for him to make $41 million against a guy that really, it was a sparring match. That guy shouldn't even been in the ring against him. Because I've seen that guy fight a couple other times. It was a sparring match. I was concerned with him as that being a big fight. I mean, he knew to get the crowd, the Mexican crowd, the people to pay the money to buy that, and he upped it from $49.99 to $64 for it. I mean, the guy's a genius when it comes to how to promote himself and how to keep it and how to make money. That guy is phenomenal. And but the thing, box sport wise, because he didn't fight Pacquiao, that's a step down for him. He's all about the money and not about the overall sport of who really is the best. When the old time fighters the Ray Lennox and them wanted to see who really was the best. And they would fight. They would go up in weight. They would drop some weight to fight the best
right.
at that time.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should mention that because Doc and I have had this conversation numerous times off air where he always talks about the time when, you know, the Ali's and whatnot were interested in seeing who is the best and going head-to-head with the best. But as I try to tell Doc all the time, not that I'm telling him anything that he doesn't know, but it's just my opinion that when it comes to pro sports, it's always about the money. Always.
Oh,
without
yeah.
a doubt. These guys don't work for free. It's always about the money.
Right.
Also,
he didn't want to get hurt, though.
It didn't always used to be about the money, though. I mean, in the past 15,
yeah, but that was
20
many
years
ago, my friend.
Been,
many moons ago. These
yeah.
days in pro sports now, it's always
it's,
about the money.
Yeah.
And also, we want to send our condolences to the sports death family, to Kenny Norton, the Norton family. As you know, Ken Norton passed away. You know, they call him the jawbreaker. You know, he's the one who broke Ali's jaw. But we want to send our condolences out to the Norton family, you know.
Yes, of
another
course,
great champ, another great champion
right.
loss, yeah.
And that
years
was a
old.
Very that was a very entertaining and very interesting trilogy, those three fights with Ali and
oh yeah, especially the one in
yeah.
especially the one in Yankee Stadium.
Well, you know, let's you know, I'm glad you brought that too. We want to talk about, you know, the passion of Kenny Norton, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It was right here on Blog Talk Radio about a year ago in one of our show in the closing. It was Dino Lowers who said, "Hey, wait a minute, you know, we announced that Kenny Norton had heart attack, and we haven't heard anything about Kenny Norton from that time to just the other day when we heard that the former heavyweight champion of the world passed away. Kenny had three fights with Ali. He won the championship by why am I keep going off here? He won the championship when Leon Spinks declined
right.
to fight him and went back in the opponent, which was definitely the smart move.
And don't forget that classic Rumble, Doc, that incredibly classic Rumble that no one ever talks about, one of the great heavyweight Rumbles of all time between Ken Norton and Larry Holmes.
Hold on a second.
Hey,
Rumble, you hear what it is?
Hey, Doc,
okay.
I just want to give you a quick update here. Seems like the pendulum of the momentum has swung over to Buffalo after throwing an interception, which resulted in a field goal by Buffalo and put them within 8 points away from the New York Jets. The New York Jets were stopped on a fourth and short attempt to turn the ball over just over the halfway point on the Buffalo side. Buffalo is moving the ball. It's just it's a 15-yard, a 23-yard pass by E.J. Manuel to Johnson of the Buffalo Bills. It's being challenged right now by the New York Jets. So New York Jets 20, Buffalo Bills 12.
And the key point on that was the Kiko Alonso interception a couple series ago that jump-started Buffalo and getting them pumped back up to get back into the game.
George, you know, we don't need this Buffalo commentary. Just stay here as a journalist, okay? That's all, okay? He's calling plays down. Hey, time out, George.
Okay. Hey, Kiko made the play last week to help win that game last week. He had a key interception last week.
No, baby, we love it. Great. It's great to have you doing this. Wings?
Yeah, I'm here, Doc.
Yeah, well, give us an update on the field down there with the Jets.
Just looked like the Buffalo Bills just turned over the ball to the New York Jets. They just sacked E.J. Manuel. So they had midfield, and Buffalo is still moving the ball. New York Jets 20, Buffalo Bills 12.
He's running, still running again.
Yeah, you hear me? You guys hear me?
Yes.
All right, good.
Now we have third and long, Buffalo Bills, incomplete pass by E.J. Manuel.
And Rex is about
so
to do cartwheels over the defense. He knows nothing about the offense, but the defense is his baby, yes.
Well, this was the second pick that E.J.
Ryan, George, and Justin, both of you can. The guy is an offensive coach. defensive coach. And, you know, last year you look at the Jets, as bad as the offense was, they were in the top eight, which means they were in the top 10 defensively, and really they probably could have been higher. They've always been in the top five or six. So, I mean, you know, defense has always been the hallmark of Ryan. And, you know, really, if the Giants just could have scored another 10 points or 14 points here or there, you know, they could have had a whole better season. But defensively, I think there's nothing to be startled or surprised about Ryan as a defensive coach, George. He's shown and he's proven that he is, if he's not a defensive genius, he's very good at defense.
Yes,
he's very good. He's very good. I had a feeling this would be a defensive struggle. I'm surprised as many points have been scored already because Mike Pettine has learned a lot from Rex Ryan, and he's been doing a very good job with the Bills as well. So the Jets are going to be in all their games most of the time because they have quality defense. You got to have a defense to win in this.
Well, it looked like the Jets just escaped that mistake on that fourth and short. Calvin Pace.
I don't need to do shake stuff. Just get to look. George, you and George are getting together now? You're working together on this? New York Jets and the Giants? I mean, hey, okay, what happened? Cut all this tape stuff. You know, maybe you and George should go back to the booth and watch the game, okay?
EJ Manuel just sacked by Calvin Pace and resulted in a punt. Now the Jets are moving first and 10 on their 20.
Big round.
Hey, he's in a good mood, Doc. Leave him alone. The Jets are winning, so I can't have to say.
Doc Kelly, Sports Net Block.
They still have a quarter of the
network. Yeah. Live here at the last game. Cisco, are you with us now, Cisco? I was trying to get
right here. You guys hear me?
Okay.
You guys hear me?
Okay, great. Yeah. You know, and we're going to talk a little about, you know, George and Justin, both of you talked about the refusal of Mayweather to fight Pacquiao, and I think what we have to understand is that fight never came about, and it still may come about, as crazy as it may seem, but that fight didn't come
about. It's not going to happen, Doc.
Well, the ship has sailed. I went 2 hours with these guys on the phone, two friends of mine who are big Floyd Mayweather fans, and I went about 2 hours with these guys about, these guys are trying to convince me how Floyd Mayweather is the greatest of all time. Well, one guy was agreeing for him to be the greatest of all time. The other guy was not giving him that accolade, but was close to it. And, you know, what kills me is that most of these people that are making this allegation that he's the greatest of all time don't, like his uncle said, don't know shit about boxing. I mean, you can't tell me that if you sit down and talk with these guys, like when I started talking about Ray Robinson, the guy didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I mean, he had to go on the internet and look up BoxRec to answer my question.
I remember a story. It said that people, and Oscar Robinson talked about that people today are not cognizant of history before them. But I remember I went to I heard about a young lady, it's about 20 years ago, she walked into a room, and she's supposed to have been in the baseball field, and she saw Joe DiMaggio across the room. Didn't know who she was, know who he was. Just said, who's that white-haired guy across the room? In New York City, 20 years ago, didn't know who Joe DiMaggio was. And you talk so much to Rooney, not Rooney, Muscles, too, about people just really not being aware. I mean, I can understand, you know, you're giving Mayweather the accolades. And I said this before about basketball. You know, so many people act today like Michael Jordan, only guy ever played basketball. And I don't take any away from Michael, but there was a Will Chamberlain, there was an Elgin Baylor, there was an Oscar Robertson, there was a Bill Russell, there was a Bob.
Yeah, you know how many names you would have to go through to talk about greatest of all time or when Floyd Mayweather comes into the play? I mean, one is he's the modern day example of what boxing is today, you know, with the internet and the media and shit like that. They hype up these fights that he has. They make it seem like these fights are more dangerous than what they are, and they make Floyd Mayweather look greater than what he really is. At the end of the day, he's a super hype machine, you know. And
Muscle, just before you came on, I was saying that he's the very best of a very weak crop. Which is
exactly
what he is.
Competition is not great. And if you think about it, right?
But,
you know,
yeah, but that's not.
Floyd Mayweather's doctors always say he shouldn't have to move up. Like I was mentioning Gennady Golovkin and Sergio Martinez. And they were like, oh, he shouldn't have to do that. So I said,
If he shouldn't have to do that, then we shouldn't call him the greatest of all time. Because you know what? Ray Robinson fought bigger guys most of his career. Okay?
Yeah.
And he moved up to, he fought middleweight while he was a welterweight. And then he moved up to light heavyweight and challenged the guy at 172, which was Joey Maxim. You know what I mean? So if Ray Robinson could do it at 150 pounds, okay, against a guy 20 pounds heavier than him, Floyd Mayweather could do it. But they make excuses. Then they say, oh, he shouldn't have to put himself at risk. You know, boxing today, we know what boxing can do to you. I said, well, get out the sport then, because boxing is what it is. You know what I mean? If your mind gets scrambled, you should never have became a boxer in the first place.
First of all, Muscles, let me say this, okay? Calling Mayweather, who is maybe the best of this particular era, a very weak crop, calling him the best of all is actually not even worthy of discussion, okay? I mean, anybody knows anything about boxing, when you say that he's the greatest of all time, that's not even worthy of discussion. That's really not by educated boxing fans. It's really not.
When you talk about greatest of all time, right, and the only thing the guy can mention to you is Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard and Hagler, the obvious names, you know, these guys don't know boxing. I mean, you have to look at Henry Armstrong, which no one talks about, who fought in three different weight classes. Ray Robinson.
And holds all those championships simultaneously.
Kid Gavilan, Elmo Griffin. You know, I mean, like, come on, Stanley Ketcher. You got to go through names, man, to really talk about how this guy is the greatest. Telling me that he would beat Hagler. Are you kidding me? He would never fight Hagler.
Hey, even way back then, Muscles, a middleweight that nobody wanted to fight, including Ray Robinson and Charlie Farrelly. I mean, nobody ever mentions him.
Floyd Mayweather fights just as safe as he fights his fights, is as safe as he picks his opponents. He doesn't go out there and make the statement of that he's the greatest. You know, because he beat Canelo. Who the hell is Canelo?
Muscles, just before you came on, I said that he doesn't beat Ray Leonard. He doesn't beat Wilfredo Benitez. He doesn't beat Tommy Hearns. He doesn't beat Roberto Duran. He doesn't beat any of those guys. So I mean,
I tell you somebody who he doesn't beat today, if he was still at middleweight, he would never have beaten Bernard Hopkins if he would have met Hopkins at middleweight. Never.
Who got a shot to beat Mayweather, Muscle?
Never. You know why he wouldn't beat Hopkins? Because Hopkins smashed Trinidad. Hopkins knocked out Oscar De La Hoya. He knocked out both those fighters. What do you think would have happened to Floyd if he would have went up and met Hopkins at 160? You crazy?
Hey, Muscles, who got a shot of beating Mayweather, Muscles?
Bernard Hopkins.
No, I'm talking about these fighters now. Who got a shot of beating Mayweather?
You know what? Now all the fighters he's faced were past their prime already. You know, Oscar De La Hoya, Shane Mosley, and Cotto and shit. There's nobody. You know there's nobody. He knows it himself. That's why he makes the six-figure deal. The only reason they fought Canelo was because they lost money, and they're going to lose even more money now because they're not going to have an opponent to fight. They're going to make the Amir Khan fight, which has been talked about. You know, that fight is going to be made only for money purposes because that fight ain't going to mean shit.
And I can't remember the last time Khan won a big fight anyway. So what?
He got embarrassed the last time. He got knocked out
the
last time before.
Because they're going to go to Britain. They're going to go to Britain and make that fight in Britain where they know that the British crowd is going to come out for Amir Khan. And they're going to make money that way. That money ain't going to make shit here. You understand? I'm telling you. He has nobody else to fight. I mean, unless he fights Broner, that's probably the only fight.
And Broner will never fight him, Muscles. Broner will never
he's in a Kiss My Ass Club.
For the money, he'll fight him.
He was at his training camp the other day.
Yo, for the money, he'll fight Floyd. Believe me, for the money, you offer him $10 million, he'll fight Floyd.
That'll have to be what it takes to get him to fight him.
Put it this way. If it's more money than he ever got in his whole career, he'll fight Floyd. It doesn't matter. Money pays. Yo, the only reason why these guys are desperate to fight Floyd Mayweather is because of the money. And you know what? It shows you where boxing is today. That boxing is controlled by one fighter, and they're putting all their money into this one fighter because they have no other choice. Boxing is so starched with the lack of superstars that they're paying this guy
$30 million, $40 million? Are you kidding me?
Actually, Muscles, the word is that he got a $40 million guarantee for this Rumble, and with the pay-per-view, still he's up to 100.
And more than that, and plus he has something to fight in the movie theaters too.
Come to show you why these other fighters are not making any money. Why these other fighters are not making any money? Because this dude is picking and choosing his opponents. He's been doing it for since his last fight with Castillo. He's been picking and choosing opponents. Never fought fighters that he should have fought, at least to make that claim. If he could at least make the claim that he's one of the greatest fighters, he would have fought. He would have went up, put it this way, he would have fought Oscar. He would have fought Oscar in his prime. He would have fought Shane Mosley in his prime. He would have fought Cotto when Cotto was undefeated, pre-Margarito. He would have done all that. He would have fought Paul Williams, who kept calling him out. But he fights Marquez, who kept calling him out.
Williams thing, I agree with. Oscar was kind of past his prime when he came on the scene anyway. So that's a situation that he couldn't have... that fight with Oscar until Oscar gets hurt. So Oscar gets hurt. Oscar's in that fight. And Zab Judah is a guy that you talked about that really is faster than he was. You know, Zab is just an anemia. It's just sad and touching. But
Zab is an underachiever. Zab was an underachiever. I mean, a guy who lost to Baldemir, for Christ's sake. Come on,
yeah,
This guy, he's one of those guys that show you flash of greatness, but the kid ain't good.
He won the first few rounds of his fight with Floyd. He actually won the first few rounds of that fight.
Let me tell you something. You know how dumb of a fighter Zab Judah is? That he gets knocked out. He was winning the fight clearly, outboxing Katsuzu, and gets his ass knocked the hell out. Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
And that fight really, really diminished him from making a standpoint in his career because it took him a long time. He had to beat Corey Spinks, who's that being Corey Spinks? I mean, that Judas wins are not that extraordinary. You know, beating Corey Spinks is what put him back on the map.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the fighters he's beaten. He's beaten.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, losing to Corey Spinks was bad enough, so beating him back was only what you're supposed to do.
In his hometown, St. Louis, too.
Well,
St. Louis, too.
Who's Corey Spinks at the end of the day? Who's Corey? Corey Spinks is a bum.
Corey Spinks' biggest claim to fame is his father.
His father's name. That's it. But he's a bum. The kid is a bum.
You don't hear about him no more. You don't.
Let me tell you something. Paulie Malignaggi making that statement, when I said that he was a modern-day Joey Archer, that's exactly who he is. And check this out. Joey Archer challenged for the middleweight title, never won. And that would have been Paulie. Paulie would never have won a title back in the day. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, well, you know. Well, first of all, Paulie can't break an egg to begin with. Me and Doc have had this discussion about Paulie.
You know, I give it to him. He's a boxing expert, but he's no boxing historian. To be saying that if people don't think that Floyd Mayweather is the greatest, that they're stupid or blind or whatever.
He doesn't need any of the four guys that I just mentioned.
You got to be
talking
some real
folks.
Wait a second. Justin and George, Justin, so they said, you know, that Floyd, and I started it before, Floyd never fought Pacquiao. Oddly enough, that fight may happen. But the reason why that fight hasn't happened since then, it's all been Top Rank. It's a fight that Aram didn't want to make. You know, and I said this before, and I'll say it redundantly, you know, with Pacquiao, after fighting Cotto and Cloudy, okay, from his own stable, turned around and fought Margarito, okay, in lieu of, he was out sin cast the first stone, the forgiveness not a cage lack with a permanent state of mind. But to fight Margarito after fighting two guys in his stable and with Margarito being suspended, to give Margarito a title shot, the most money that he's ever made to fight a guy in his stable, you know, somewhere along the line, Aram should have tried to make that fight with Mayweather. And there comes a time, as Ray Lennon said, it's not about the money, okay, but it's about being the champ. And you got to question the heart and the mentality. Mayweather said that Pacquiao's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and you got to question that. You got me somewhere along the line, Aaron's my promoter, I'm the champ, Bob, make the fight. And the weight is not on Mayweather, or all the weight is not on Mayweather. But you got a question.
Let me tell you something about Mayweather, okay?
Hold on. I'm going to talk right now, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right. But you got a question. You got to question a guy who keeps fighting guys in his own stable. You got to question a guy who refuses to take the test and then turns around and is ready to take the test. And what you said, Muscles, is because now he's found a way to hide it. I mean, all
right.
The weight is not on Mayweather. Okay, if we
right. No, all the weight isn't on Mayweather, but we're not talking about the weight being on Mayweather. We're talking about him being the greatest of all time. This is where the dispute. This is where I have to shut down the line, because honestly, the more I dig into to try to put this guy as one of the greatest fighters of all time, is he gets lower and lower on the list. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
it's like he's not top five. He's not even top 10, if you want to say that.
I do not see Mayweather. I do not see Mayweather. I'm going to say this right here. Dr. Telly Sports and the Blog Talk Radio on Trust and Garvin. They work live at MetLife Stadium in Buffalo, Bills, New Jersey. I've said this before. I'll say this again. There is not, okay, a great fighter in boxing today. Okay? There's not one great fighter in boxing today. And what you said yesterday, Muscles, is this. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is a great promoter of Floyd Mayweather Jr. But Floyd Mayweather Jr., okay, you hear me, Paul Malignaggi? Not only is he not the greatest fighter of all time, he is not, N-O-T-A, a great fighter. Gentlemen, let's go. Give me your responses, Justin.
Yeah, well, I mean, as Mayweather says, you know, 45 people got into the ring with him, and 45 people have failed. So, I mean, his record does speak for himself, but overall, pound-for-pound fighter.
His record, 44, yeah. Oh, come on, man. When you talk about his record, dude, talk about his undefeated record, then you got to say that a guy like Rocky Marciano is the greatest of all time because he never lost. Or Ricardo Lopez, the flyweight champion that retired he also retired undefeated. I mean, like Calzaghe, you could say Calzaghe is the greatest because he retired undefeated and beat Hall of Fame fighters like Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins. You know what I mean? So really, like when he talks about this, 44 stepped up to the plate, man, get out of here, man. Get out of here.
I think what Justin is saying is that, you know, there's some credence. You give him some credence toward the undefeated record, but I think you were going to say, Justin, that you too don't think he's the greatest of all time. Right.
No, I don't think he's the greatest of all time, but I also, you know, he doesn't have anybody to fight against in this era. I mean, Pacquiao was his biggest test, but you know, that fight, nobody wants to see that happen now. So
that
I mean,
he's
really just you know, he's really
I
just
I bet that fight gets made.
No, that ship has sailed. Nobody cares.
That ship has sailed.
Nobody cares.
Listen to me. If he beats Brandon Rios and knocks him out, looks extraordinary in that fight, I bet you that fight gets made, man.
Hold on, gentlemen. Just give us an update on the Jets and the Buffalo Bills.
With 10:55 left to go in the fourth quarter, live here at the stadium, the New York Jets are being besieged. Penalties. The Buffalo Bills just scored 6 points. This drive the Buffalo Bills here have been driving was in part by a number of unsportsmanlike penalties against Kyle Wilson, where the Jets. Defense could have been off the field and the offense could have came on. It was a number of penalties to the face, Kyle Wilson. So right now they're going to probably go for two with 10:39 left in the fourth quarter.
I like going for two right here.
At this point, the New York Jets 20, Buffalo Bills 18.
C-Wings
breaking in. With a update from MetLife Stadium on the Sports and Death on the Trust and God Network.
Hey, see what we did by Indianapolis beating up San Francisco, man. What's going on?
Well,
everybody's getting ready.
2 points, good.
Right now, the Buffalo Bills
game
target is 20-20. As I said before, 39 left to go in the fourth quarter.
Ain't over to the Fat Man's pit.
Just tied it 20-20 based on
a number of penalties to Jets committed, namely on by
God Wilson. That was stupid. That was a stupid play.
He got back-to-back penalties.
Real petty. He never should play the rest of the game.
Live on the NFL update, C-Wing, on the Trust and Guard Network, Sports and Death, Doc Stanley.
Don't get thrown out the game, C-Wings, now.
Here we go. Let's get back to it. And we were talking some boxing. Gentlemen, real quickly, we talked so much about Mayweather and Alvarez. Got some other fights coming up. We got the Bradley and Marquez fight. A big fight. I mean, I think it's crossroads is the word. But
hey, Doc, before you go on, can I just give big ups to one? That undercard between Matusse and Garcia was a darn good workmanlike, tough, gritty fight. And I want to give big ups to the both of them. That was a quality rumble where those guys had real great give and take. So I just wanted to, acknowledge that as you move on. Thanks, Doc. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, one more time. Give it to one. Shout out one more time there, will you?
Big ups to Matusse and Garcia, the undercard of the Mayweather-Alvarez rumble. They gave a workmanlike rumble, a gritty rumble. Both of them showed a lot of heart and came to fight. Big ups to them both.
I hear, if I'm correct, they're going to do the rematch. I believe that's the way it's going to be, a rematch with Matusse and Danny Garcia. Any confirmation on that, Muscles?
Didn't hear about it. Won't be surprised because what else does Garcia have at 140? Matusse has a fractured orbital bone, from what I heard, from that left eye that was swollen. You got to look at his brain trust, his corner. They were trying to squeeze the swelling out of his eye with their fingers, for Christ's sake.
And never use the end swell muscles.
They used it for two rounds, and next thing you know, I don't know what happened, but they started using their fingers. And I was like, I think that Matusse was fighting a pretty decent fight until that eye got swollen, and Garcia was. You know, he wasn't able to see that left hand, and he was fighting, one eye, and now the fight became a lot closer. I think a lot more in Garcia's hands. But you got to give Garcia his props. It was that it was a punch that messed up his eye, and he was able to somehow gain Matisse's respect, which is what he needed to do. Can't take away from Garcia's win. I would like to see a rematch. I would like to see if Matusse can capitalize off this loss and somehow change things. You know, we never see Matusse in a rematch, and sometimes we see what fighters have in rematches. We see
a good fight for boxing, and it's a no lose situation for Garcia. If he would lose the fight, then you got a trilogy, you got a third fight. I think everybody wants to see. A lot of words. In other words, can Garcia do it again? I mean, he was 8-1 underdog, and that doesn't mean anything. I liked him. I thought he was a better boxer, and it turned him from a fight into a boxing match. So, I'll box him. I think you also said, too, Muscles, from a standpoint of view of hitting, he hits just as hard, maybe harder than Matusse. And like you said, Matusse's eye didn't swell up because he looked in the sun. Danny Garcia closed that eye. And Rooney, they talked about the end swell.
Garcia took some hellacious shots. I'm not going to be so clear that he's the bigger puncher because Matusse had Garcia backpedaling a lot. But Garcia took some shots, man. Even that right hand that knocked his mouthpiece out, that was a good right hand. It showed that Garcia has a pretty good beard.
He has a great chin, actually, Muscles, because he got hit with some shots that Matusse usually knocks guys out with, and Danny took it and came back. Strong.
Yeah, but
what?
One thing about Matusse is, and that's why I say the left eye probably hindered him from. Matusse had gotten knockouts late in fights. I mean, he dropped, he finished a Josie late. He dropped Zab Judah late, had him running in the 10th round. You know, I mean, this guy carries his power throughout the fight. So I think that he had a little bit of a handicap, once that I got hurt. Because I thought he was fighting a pretty decent fight up until the 6th round. Up until his eye got swollen. So see what a rematch would bring. I still see him as a dangerous fight for Garcia if they do fight again, if they do have a rematch.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fight that the fans will want to be. It'll be the, a crowd-pleasing type of fight, and they'll do big numbers on the rematch. So, you know, no question about it.
The only question I
But you know, honestly, I didn't think it was a – I thought it would be a better fight than what it was, honestly. I mean, everybody expected a bar burner, you know, between the two guys because they're both big punchers and they've had, you know, some hellacious fights. But the fight turned out to be a lot more tactical.
The thing, Matusi came in that fight with six straight knockouts. But I think, you know, the thing was that once Matusi realized that Danny could take his punch, and once he felt a little bit of Danny's power, he kind of changed the whole mindset, the adjustments made by both fighters. It's interesting. The point you make is really good, too, is to see a rematch and what happens when Matusi's eye doesn't get closed. I mean, Danny did close it, but what happens if Matusi's eye doesn't get closed? But the consensus was, too, that if Matusi got too close, Danny could knock him out as well as him knocking Danny out. So it's one of the most intriguing fights.
Oh, he got knocked down. He got knocked down, remember? I mean, you know, he got knocked down himself. I thought it was a combination of getting caught up in the ropes, but he still got dropped. So, you know, and it was the first time in his career that he went down. Danny still yet to visit the canvas, so, you know.
What's the possibility? Let's say Garcia wins again. What's the possibility of him becoming – Mayweather has four fights left. He's got to find four people to fight. Somewhere along the line, if Pacquiao wins his next fight, they got to try to do that fight. But he still has four people to fight. If Garcia Matusi would win, I mean, you know, he's. Well, here's the latest rumor I heard. Bernard Hopkins going down to fight Floyd Mayweather.
I don't think that's going to happen, Doc. I don't think that's going to happen.
Bernard Hopkins said he'll fight him at 160. And Floyd Mayweather won't go up to 160. That's just the problem. Like Floyd Mayweather.
I got to break in with a score alert.
Okay,
Geno Smith is due to Santonio Holmes for a touchdown. At this point, it's for a 69-yard touchdown reception. Geno Smith to Santonio Holmes.
Well, how's Geno looking so far? Do you see wings?
20. Geno Smith looks okay. I mean, he didn't have as many interceptions. What's killing the Jets is the 15 penalties for 143 yards.
It's Holmes' first touchdown reception since 9-16. It's good to see him get on the board. He hasn't seemed to recover 100% from that injury, but it's a big touchdown. 9:23 left in the game. As I see from the other scoreboard, it's a big, big. Well, no small touchdowns.
Ex-Steeler.
Also, I knew you had to throw that in, but also he made a good catch.
Geno Smith, he threw for 300 yards today.
Wow. Well, two touchdowns, right? Wow.
300 yards, and he rushed for a touchdown. He took a pretty big shot to him when he rushed for a touchdown and had the help of a defensive lineman from Buffalo who hit him in the back and knocked him into the end zone there.
You know what would help Geno tremendously, C-Wings, is if they had a bona fide running game, whereas the play action could freeze the backers and give him that extra second or two, you know, to have the receivers, you know, release. If they had to respect the running game a bit more, would help him tremendously and help his game tremendously. They couldn't go all out pass rush on him because they'd have to respect.
Was it was thought that some of the way that's going, the offensive coordinator, because they thought they should have ran the ball more in the New England game, and they didn't. And that would have been time consuming. All of it would have been, may have been another touchdown. So a lot of the weight of things not being done from a running standpoint of view has been concluded that some of it has to go in the offensive coordinator. And that's what I say about today's football. You know, offensively, the way it's not on the quarterback in the old days with Warren Moon and Johnny Unitas and John Elway and Joe Namath, you know, there's an offensive coordinator, there's a coach called the plays, so some of the weight has to be thrown at Rex and his offensive coordinator. And Rooney, did you ever think you would miss Schottenheimer?
Doc, you're terrible. Marty Schottenheimer. What a blast from the past.
Where's he at? Who's that? I don't know what that is. Do you know, Rooney? Never heard of him.
Key that the Jets have to win this game because they go on the road. They have to face Tennessee. They have to face Tennessee, who had San Diego Chargers today. The Chargers, 20-17. Jacksonville, 17 points. Playing the Seattle Seahawks today. Seahawks 38, Jacksonville 17. Indianapolis, they topple San Francisco 27-7.
Beat them in San Francisco.
Miami came back today and beat the Atlanta Falcons 27-23. Detroit Lions, a big year drought. I think it was over 60 plus years. The last time that they beat Washington Redskins, they beat them 27-20 today. Arizona, they were squashed. New Orleans Saints, 31-7. Tampa Bay was also shellacked today by the New England Patriots, 23-3. That's not surprising there. Dallas beat St. Louis Rams, 31-7. Cincinnati, who I'm predicting that they will win their division.
Yeah.
They beat Green Bay today, 34-30. They came back in fashion. Aaron Rodgers, 26-43, 244 yards. Andy Dalton, 20-28, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. They were both sacked 4 times today, Andy Dalton and Aaron Rodgers. New York Giants, what a significant loss today. They were shut out by the Carolina Panthers, 38-0.
Now, send them a box of donuts.
An absolutely disgraceful performance, I may add, see.
Send them a box of donuts, man.
Well, it is the largest loss by Tom Coughlin since he had been the coach of the New York Giants, and it is the largest margin win by the Carolina.
Have Atlanta blew them out last year, man. Atlanta crushed them, shut them out too, remember?
Yeah, but this was the largest loss that Tom Coughlin has experienced under his tenure, 38-0. So, as we got the New York Jets, they scored 27-20 off of a 69-yard pass from Geno Smith to Santonio Holmes with 8:43 left in the fourth
quarter.
Like
I said, he would be the starter.
But
I did say that on the show he will start.
Absolutely. But
well, I'm very happy for him. Hope he pulls us out. It ain't over yet.
Tonight? I'm sure if you had asked any of the Jets fans if they'd have signed up for a 2-1 after 3 games, they'd have taken it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the defense has kept the Jets alive.
Too many
also,
penalties, though, man. They got to slack down on the penalties. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
they
took a lot of
hurting them.
Finally, 27-7 over the 49ers, and all of a sudden they don't look so tough and invincible anymore either. They lost. Packers lost again today. And so all the good teams are starting to lose. Actually, Sports at Blog Talk Radio and Trust and God Radio Network, we salute Mariano Rivera, who played his last game ever at Yankee Stadium today. Number 42 was retired and won for the last time in the history of baseball in New York City. Jackie Robinson was a Brooklyn Dodger. You know, at one time we had the Brooklyn Dodgers, New York Yankees, and right now the last guy, anything similar close to number 42 will be Robinson Cano, who wears number 24, which is Jackie Robinson's number 5, which was today. Mariano Rivera was saluted at Yankee Stadium. And the last time, number 42 will be worn in history of baseball.
The last time.
And you know something, Doc? Let me say this about Mariano just quickly. Not only has he been a great ball player, and as you said, probably the greatest relief pitcher of all time, but as his tenure has been here, he has conducted himself with nothing but class, aplomb. And there's never been a breath of scandal concerning Mariano Rivera. So big ups to not only his talent, but he's been a class act all the way.
Yeah, the thing that I'm so impressed by him is his devout and in-depth belief and trust in God, his faith in God, and it's something that I'm a little upset about that that's not mentioned a lot more. You know, I think if he was a Dalai Lama or a Muslim or a Hindu, it'd be a lot more broadcasted, but it's not broadcasted a lot. But he always professes that first and foremost, a Christian model, a role model, a man who has found always the time for his fellow men, but more importantly, always putting God first. And I think the residue of that, I don't think it is, the residue that is shown in the kind of respect and homage paid to him. And it's all because it's the good Lord in Christ centered. Once again, the put some stats here. Today, wide receivers have 10 receptions, 287 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Santonio Holmes scored his first touchdown in a long, long time. And it's good to see that Jets and Buffalo playing a really, really good football game here. The Jets are trying to maybe get a field goal here to kind of ensure a win, but it's right now, as we told you before, 27-20, the Jets over Buffalo, and the Jets are trying to add some more here, and it's been a very exciting game. Like Stanley Sports is at Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. They're all here. The Cisco Kit.
They just went 3 and out. New York Jets have to punt the ball. It's an incomplete pass by Geno Smith. With over 7 minutes left to go in the game, the Jets are being forced to
this is the thing. This is the thing that Rooney talked about a minute ago. Why are they not? They did one running play, and they went away. But why are they not trying to run the ball? Why are they not killing the clock? And these are the things that, I mean, it puts Buffalo right back in the football game. 6:19 is like 2 days in pro football. I mean, why are they not? Let's look at comparisons on the quarterback. Say 14 to 29 is EJ, and Geno is 15 to 27. EJ has 195 yards. Smith has over 300 yards. But you know, you're putting the team back in the football game. I mean, you're at home. I just thought they had a better running game than what they're professing to have. And more importantly, if you don't call the running plays, we'll see.
Hey, Doc, can I say something?
Go ahead, Hoops.
Yeah, we got. I want to give a shout out to Barclays Center in Brooklyn. As a 1 year, this is made 1 year today. The Barclays Center is open. The anniversary today.
Oh wow, the Barclays Center. Also, you know, I'm surprised. I heard that LeBron James got married.
Yes, he did.
I
say congratulations to him. So no three-peat. You know, we don't want no three-peat.
give a shout
out.
No,
that doesn't happen for them this year.
They're still a team to beat, though.
Doc, by the way, you know, just quickly saying, I'm sure that you already know about this, but I don't know if our fans do. Hey, the commissioner called them in, called the representatives of the Knicks, Dolan and Company, and the Nets, the Russian owner of the team, and their representatives. Called them in for a sit-down, Doc. It seems as though he's concerned about the chippy play between the two teams in the last few games of the last season, Doc. He sat down to say, hey, have a talk with your teams. The play is getting quite chippy between the two. So we have a bona fide rivalry here with the Knicks and Nets now.
Hey, Doc, everybody want to know. Yeah, everybody know who the last team that three-peated? Anybody know?
Chicago Bulls.
One more.
Well, you said the last team. That's the
after
last
that,
team.
After that was the Lakers with Shaq. They're three-peated.
Yeah, right. You're right. You know what? In fact, the last team was the Lakers.
Lakers is the end of the Bulls.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Well, the Lakers were the last team. The Bulls.
The Lakers
were
the last team.
No,
after that was, before that was the Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls.
I got to get out of here, man. I want to say one more thing, you know, before I go. Because we were talking about Floyd, and my thing is, if you look at it, we can look at Roy Jones Jr. right before his loss to Antonio Tarver, right? He had beat John Ruiz. You know, he did something that Floyd Mayweather wouldn't do, which is move up in weight, right? He fought a guy who is a lot bigger than him also, right?
Even though,
you know, you can take away who he fought. I mean, he didn't fight the real heavyweight champion, which is Lennox Lewis, but he still fought a heavyweight champion or a heavyweight fighter, period, something that Floyd Mayweather wouldn't do. And if you look at Roy Jones, okay, everybody's blown away by Floyd Mayweather's performance against Canelo, but look at the performances that Roy Jones used to have. His performances blow out any fight that Floyd Mayweather's ever had. His knockout over Virgil Hill, I mean, those triple left hooks that he would throw, I mean, the crazy athleticism that Roy Jones has shown and talent-wise was far beyond what Floyd Mayweather showed.
And his fight with James Toney was a class.
His fights with James Toney, the list goes on and on. I mean, Mike McCallum, I mean,
Roy's mistake, Muscles, was that he should have stayed at heavyweight once he was there instead of coming back down.
If you think about it, he was 49-1, okay, which he should have been 49-0 because that fight, that loss against Montel Griffith was not a loss,
right.
It was a disqualification,
right.
So he really was 49-0 before he lost to Antonio Tarver. Doesn't it sound similar? He was 49-1, but still, like I said, he should have been 49-0. And on top of it, he would have retired at that particular moment. Wasn't people calling him the greatest ever?
They were calling him the greatest ever.
On the night that Roy Jones Jr. beat Vinny Pazienza, the late great Arthur George told me, that Roy Jones Jr. showed the night would have beat Sugar Ray Robinson. And, you know, Nassim Richardson made a tremendous point that had Roy Jones Jr. fought Tyson Holyfield at heavyweight, and understand he would have caught them way past their prime, but he would have beat them in 30 years from now, people would have said, dang, he's got to be the greatest fighter of all time. He beat Tyson and Holyfield.
I don't know about that, but he was pound for pound. No, I'm not saying he was. You're not listening to me. That's important. I heard exactly what you said. I just said I don't know about that. Those were what was being said. That's what people would have said.
Some people. Roy Jones Jr.
You know, you need to rephrase that back and say that's what some people were saying.
I'm just saying what Nassim Richardson said. I need to listen here.
As much as I like Nassim, he's not the Bible of boxing, okay?
We're not saying what we're doing at this point, we're listening to Doc Stanley. And what Doc Stanley is saying, Roy Jones Jr. beaten Tyson and Holyfield at the heavyweight division, okay, 30, 40 years from now, people, and understand, not you, not me, not Muscles, not those who know boxing, would not have said this. But he said people 30, 40 years from now will look at his resume and said, this guy's got one loss against Montel Griffith, which was shaky. He beat everybody in heavyweight division. He came up from middleweight and won the heavyweight championship, were only done twice, and he beat Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Mike Tyson, the youngest man to ever win the title, Evander Holyfield, every man to win the fight. They would have said, not me, maybe call him Malignaggi. They would have said that we gotta get Paulie on the show.
They would have been saying he's the greatest of all time, and the point is the guy honestly was nobody. Hold on one second.
It's like Camacho. Camacho could say that he beat the only guy. Could be Ray Lennon and Roberto Duran. Yeah,
those guys were vastly over the hill, Doc, when he beat those guys. Vastly over the hill.
No question about it. And that'd been the same thing with Holyfield and Tyson. Vastly over the hill. I mean, Roy Jones Jr. couldn't have beat them in their prime, but, you know, that's what people were saying. But Camacho, I'll say this for Camacho, at his best, and Ray and Roberto at their best, it's a good fight. Especially Camacho at lightweight. It's a good fight, but
yeah, it was a good fight. Yeah,
I'm just saying that, and there's another guy.
Just a quick update from the game. The New York Jets were just hit with their 18th penalty, helping the Buffalo Bills move along with the ball.
Yo, guys, I gotta get out of here, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, man. Thank you.
New York Jets 27, Buffalo Bills 20. the Buffalo Bills are in Jet territory. They were just hit with their 18th penalty. This one for offsides as the,
Hold on. Did you say 18th penalty?
18th penalty.
No, it's amazing that they are in this football game with 18 penalties.
You're right, Doc. I mean, amazing.
Tell me about it.
and it's even astonishing that they are winning the football game. 18 penalties? In the words of Howard Wilson, sad and touching.
Sad and touching.
That is crazy.
And today is Geno Smith's first 300-plus passing game for his career. He's passed 329 yards so far.
That's good.
Wow.
How many touchdowns? Two?
Two touchdowns.
And two interceptions.
And two interceptions, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, C, I know that you've also heard it. They've actually, Doc, also in hoop, actually tried to start another mini quarterback controversy about Sims coming in now with the whole thing.
Yeah, we heard that. Yeah, I heard that. It's not going to happen. Geno plays well. It's not going to happen.
I think that's more of a media reports at this point. There's nothing there. I just can't see them going to fill Matt Sims, who played with not even a second string offense.
No
string. Third string guys.
No,
I mean,
string.
Most of those guys weren't even not even here.
Right, no string quarterback.
So
yeah, I heard that. That's not going to happen. If Geno plays well, it's not going to happen. So far, he's playing well. Plus, he got the ball. He got to run with it.
So that offensive line can keep him protected.
Yeah.
And the penalties, 18 penalties in a game. It's incredible.
I know.
Incredible. But, yeah. I mean, had this been another team, like maybe Denver.
We can't say that. I mean, the mindset is had this maybe been who? Well, not the 49ers. That's where they're playing.
Denver.
Right? Not they playing. Okay, maybe Denver. Maybe, but we don't know. You know what I mean? But I understand. You know what? There's a great line. I understand where you're coming from. Us and they're coming from. We've got about a good 20 minutes left. Doc Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, live from MetLife Stadium. It's the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets fighting for the bragging rights of New York City. There's no question whoever wins this game is the best team in football. Whoever loses the game is the second best team in football in New York State, because the Giants lost again today. There's some of the running game that they have to finally display, and this gets them a first down and gets the ball. Harold Weston Jr. is here. Harold, Cisco left us, and just we just want you to wrap on. Paulie Malignaggi says something that to me alludes to the fact of his lack of intellect of the sweet science, and sad and touching for a guy to be a fighter. And now I'm thinking he must be punching what he said. That
hold
you
your heart when Doc said this, Harold. Hold your heart. You're going to have to when Doc tells you this.
Yeah, you might laugh at this one, Harold. Get some tissues on this one.
Really?
Harold. Paulie Malignaggi said, like I'm saying, in the words of your own classic line, this is sad and touching. And definitely a point well taken to say that there must be some mental problems with Paulie Malignaggi, as Rooney would say. Hold on, Harold, are you sitting down, Harold? Are you sitting down?
Yes, I am.
Okay, please sit. No, hold on a minute, Harold. I got to get my breath.
You got a drink in your hand, Harold.
Okay. Geno Smith,
you don't need a stiff one for this one.
Geno Smith, 15-27, 329 yards, two touchdowns to INT. E.J. Manuel, 15-35, 201 yards and a touchdown. He's been sacked seven times. Seven sacks have been by seven different players. 158 total yards against the Jets today. Harold, Paulie Malignaggi, you said, if you don't see Floyd Mayweather Jr. as the greatest fighter of all time, you are either stubborn, stupid, or blind. Harold, run with this, please.
Well, with a person like Paul Malignaggi, or whatever, how you ever mention his name, making a statement like that, that don't know nothing about boxing, because he would, you know what, in our day, he wouldn't even be a good sparring partner, okay? We'd have knocked his little behind out early in his career, all right? That's one thing. Floyd Mayweather is a good fighter for this era.
Thank you.
I'll give him all that respect. But when you start going down that line as welterweight, even lightweight, or junior welterweight, right? He doesn't even fit into the top 10 of great champions, okay? I'm going to be very frank with that, because if I run off you 7-8 guys that would have knocked his little ass out real quick, that one-punch, two-punch combination he throw will not get it back in the day. You had to throw 4-5-punch combinations, okay? They ain't never heard it about that before in this boxing, this era, but that's the way it went back in those days. And on the other surface is the fact that we had 15 rounds to go, and on the other surface, we were deadly. We went to kill you. We didn't come in there to box you. Or we
Hello.
Came in there to kill each other.
Hello.
All right? That's the bottom line. So when Paulie says something, don't pay no mind to him, because really he got hit a few too many times. And on top of that, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because him as a fighter like he fights, with that defense he fights with, where he don't have really no defense, he would have got knocked out cold in the gym, okay? Out cold in the gym. And so, you know, I listen to Paulie. I just throw it right over my head, because anybody that listens to Paulie is most, well, you know, we're in a different era. That's the whole thing I got to say. These kids today, they don't look into their history. They don't look at the fights that went back to the past. And what they see is the Floyd Mayweather, the Mike Tyson, and that's what they see. You know, that's what's in their imagination. They don't see the Muhammad Ali's, the Joe Lewis's, the, you know, Edward Charles, Jose Napoli's. I mean, I can go on and on, and you guys know that too. It's like a joke. It's like really a joke to all of us. I mean, I'm looking at this Danny Garcia, and they're praising him like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that was like a joke fight to me, what I saw on TV.
And not only that, how they're talking about, they were so impressed with it, that they're talking about him and Matusse doing it again for huge money.
Well, I mean, that's what they got. That's how bad it is in boxing. That's what they got. They ain't got nothing else to throw out there to the public. So they got to use that scenery to try to even keep up with the boxing. You see how, look what they did with the Mayweather and fight, okay? The greatest fight of this century. Give me a break. You know, they're trying to build something up that doesn't even have no imagination to it. Whitney, they're trying to build off something where Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fought each other undefeated. You got to understand, when those two men fought, and the reason why that was the greatest sport event of all time, it will never be again, is that they fought everybody. This is what the thing is about. They beat everybody in the top 10. Each one of them fought each contender, and they beat them. And they were still undefeated, okay? That's and they both were Olympic champions. That's what made that fight the greatest fight of all time. And there will never, ever, ever be another one like it.
Never had two people that great. And Howard, what these guys don't seem to understand, too, I'm not talking about our illustrious cast, but what these other guys don't seem to understand, Howard, is you, Tommy Hearns, Ray Leonard, Wilfred Benitez, Roberto Duran, you guys don't fall for the shoulder, man. You guys don't let him fight when he feels like it. I mean, he doesn't beat you. He doesn't beat Tommy Hearns. He doesn't beat Ray Leonard. He doesn't beat Wilfred Benitez. He doesn't beat Roberto Duran.
He doesn't even beat Leonard. I'm going to give you a letter. He doesn't even beat Carlos Salomino.
Wow. Hey, Al, I want to ask you something. We're on this show, we sent out a donation to the Ken Norton. You know,
family.
I heard he passed away. You thought about him as a fighter?
Oh, Ken was a warrior. Was no son. I remember when Ken first was trying to get his boxing together, and he got knocked out early in his career, and he started dealing with the Joe Frazier group, and so basically. Nobody really thought he was going to make it. And all of a sudden, he changed his style. He changed his whole style. He became more aggressive.
I call it the peekaboo style. That's what I used to call him when he fights.
Right, and he changed his whole style. Because before, he was a boxer. He kept his hands down low, and he used to try to box from the outside. And he got knocked out a couple of times.
Okay.
And so he just changed his style, and he started becoming more aggressive. And Ken is right up there with those guys. If you want to look at the top 20 guys, Kenny Norton would be right up there, because Kenny, we had a lot of heart. He was an aggressive guy. I mean, I don't care what nobody said. He won the 15th round with Larry Holmes. I don't care what anybody said. It was a great round.
Oh, you say he beat Larry Holmes that fight? Wow.
No, I thought he beat him. I thought he won the 15th round. That was the round that everybody going to say that's who won the fight.
What a war that was.
I don't know. As
we talk about Kenny Norton, can you give some reflections on Kenny? You know, he's a great guy. Another of us guys, Ali Mack. You know, your memories and your thoughts of a late, great Ken Norton.
I think that Kenny was one of those guys that if any heavyweight wanted to be a heavyweight or a fighter, Kenny was always in shape for a fight, okay? You knew he came in shape, especially when he got knocked out. After he got knocked out those couple of times, he really got in good shape because he knew he didn't have the best chin in the world. And so basically he knew he had to always be in 110% condition as a fighter. And when Kenny came to fight, you know, you had a fight on your hand. And that was the thing about Kenny. Kenny wasn't the most bravest guy, but he sure enough will give you all what he's got to really go out there and fight. And that's what I liked about Kenny. He turned his whole program around when he started, you know, dealing with the Joe Frazier kind of people and all that. But when he started doing that peekaboo style thing, it became a new era. And that's the reason why he never fought Joe Frazier, because they were good friends. They were part of their group. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. What was it about his style, that peekaboo thing that used to give Ali fits, Harold? What was it about his style being so awkward that gave Ali fits?
Well, the fact was Kenny was tall. Kenny had long arms. And at the same time, Ali couldn't see no opening with. You got to understand, that was that peekaboo style. I even did the peekaboo style a couple of times in my fight. But the thing was, guys couldn't see the opening. You know, most guys, most fighters, mostly majority of fighters, they want to see the opening before they throw a punch. If they don't see the opening, they're not going to throw the punch. You understand? So if you cover it up, they know why I waste my punches, because I might get tired throwing the punches, so they don't throw the punch. So that peekaboo style to Ali was very confusing because he didn't see the opening to throw his punches, and he didn't want to waste his punches on something that he couldn't hit anyway. And so basically that's the reason why he held off, and that's become that style really messed him up, because when you have that style, you're moving forward. You got your hands up high and you move forward. But you can punch out of that defense. But at the same time, when you get close to a guy and he's not throwing a punch, you can nail him. And that's what's so confusing in that style, because you can't see really an opening. You really can't see an opening. And that's what guys be waiting for. They're waiting for opening. That's when you see guys standing in the middle ring and they're looking at each other. They look for an opening. They look for a guy dropping his hand to hit me. But no, you know, most guys ain't going to do that. You know, but that's what they're looking for. And that's the reason why Kenny was so difficult to fight, because he had that style. And they knew that heavyweights get tired after they throw a whole lot of punches. You don't hit nothing. They feel they're, you know, wasting their punches. So that's the reason why it confused out.
So what do you think was his best fight, Hal?
What was Ken Norton's best fight?
Yeah, you say wow.
This fight with Ali was the best fight for him. It really was.
What was it, at Yankee Stadium?
I mean, at Yankee Stadium. Every time before that, Ali was always.
Yeah, my dad was at that fight, at this Yankee Stadium fight.
That was it. I remember that fight. Ken Norton said he had trained so hard for that fight. After that fight, he never trained as hard as he had in the past. And with that, let's get ready. We remember Kenny Norton, heavyweight champion of the world and a Hall of Famer in the game of life. We salute Mariano Rivera, who wears number 42 for the last time in history of New York City baseball and will wear it for the last time in history of Major League Baseball. The Jets are up 27-20 against the Buffalo Bills with 1:37 left to go. Look, if they have a win, they will be unquestionably the number one football team in New York State, and Buffalo will be the second best team, the Giants. Well, we don't know where they're the master. They're 0-3 today. No, not today. 38-0. And with that, the man who coined the phrase sports in your nation will now say thank you for being the sports in the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mel, a.k.a. Rooney, a.k.a. Little Coco, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., tells you all we got to go.
Good doctor. The Sports In-Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In-Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network.
the straw that stirs the drink has been here, and that's been the incomparable Doc Salmon. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rudy. And with that, Larry Hodge. This is the
stage. Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Okay, James. Okay. Where we at? Okay, I'm looking for the group to join us back here. And looking for a quick call. But listen, we're not going to get the call.
Oh, man, it's been fantastic, man. Geno Smith has really had a hell of a game today. And, you know, a duel between two quarterbacks, two rookie quarterbacks, E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith. So, you know, it's been quite a showing for the Jets. Game is winding down now, 1:10 left. Jets have a seven-point lead. So it's been a coming-out party so much for Geno Smith today.
Greg, can you, you know, one thing, just had over 18 penalties, and this is a lot of them come over this kind of, overcome this kind of, 18 penalties, so they showed a lot of resilience, and, you know, Buffalo is not a bad football team, so it's remarkable to have those many penalties and still be able to win the football game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, both these teams are, have a lot of young players, so, you know, that's to be expected. You know, each team will get better as the season goes along. The Jet defense, this is the first team in the three games so far in the season where the Jet defense has even allowed 20 points. And, out of those 20 points, four of them were, I mean, there's been four field goals, so, you know, their defense is really holding its own so far, and they could easily be 3-0. You know, New England got, that's a game that got away from them. But these kinds of games build character and build experience, you know, for the young team.
Well, I mean, understand. Well, you know, not only that, it's big that they came back and win this football game. It's great defensive play there.
putting the ball on the 1 yard line. You talk about the shock of not only the Jets lose, not the Giants losing today, but being shut out 30-0. Can you talk about that, Greg?
Yeah, Doc, I didn't hear you because I had just pinned the ball down on the 1 yard line, and the crowd was the crowd noise came in. Repeat that again, Doc. I'm sorry.
Your thoughts on the Giants not only losing but being shut out today, 38-0.
Oh boy, I don't even know what to say there. I mean, it's a division, the end of division where no one seems to be establishing themselves except for maybe Dallas. You know, between the Redskins being down, the Eagles getting pounded on Thursday night and last week, and the Giants being 0-3, who wants this division? So it looks like if anybody goes in any type of role, 3 or 4 games in a row, they'll set the pace in the NFC East. You know, the Giants have a lot of challenges there, and I think that some of the players that they've lost, you know, especially on defense, has really come back to hurt them thus far. You know, Cam Newton, you know, had a good game today, and you give up 38 points. The Giants are not a team that can withstand turnovers. Like any team in the NFL, turnovers make a difference. And you can have one of the best teams out there, but when you turn the ball over, any good team in this league is going to be hurt.
But it's
the Giants are turnover prone. They've been turnover prone since game one.
And Greg, we got a final 27-20. Jets over the Buffalo Bills for the number one team in football in New York. Jets are the best team in football right now in New York. Buffalo's number two. And the Giants, no question, they're the worst team around. Greg, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. Our siblings to the Norfolk family and Tom Cobble's family. Norton passed away, the former heavyweight champion, and Tom Cobble lost his brother. Just win the day. And Mario Rivera wears number 42 for the last time. They sports their blog talk radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. Leave 3 cards. They relax today, and they have to stand before guard tomorrow. My smoke persistent most urgent question is, what are you doing to serve others? Richard Patriots, Space Canada, and Greg, our man in the stands, give us a final 27-20, Jets over Buffalo. Marvin Gaye, as this to say, as we go about our way. Trust in God. Marvin, please come on in here now.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time,
there'll come a time,
when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow,
flowers won't grow, no,
bells won't be ringing,
no, bells won't be ringing,
who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't
stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life. Life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares?
Okay, with that we go back to the stands. Greg, you're feeling Jet, can they continue with it like this?
Right here, Doc.
Yeah. Can the Jets continue winning like this? How big is this win to the Jets? Okay.
Come again, Doc. Oh, wow.
Well, let's see if we can go to the press box.